All three, of course, follow. Retribution, however, is rather reserved to punishment. Eternity is but, according to St. Paul, after death comes the judgment. 10 of you got that wrong. Regarding man's destiny, the New Testament is more clear than the Old Testament. Please remember that. One reason for the Jews to this day, being many of them so confused about the afterlife, is because the Old Testament isn't that clear. It's clear, but not nearly as clear as the New. Moreover, the clearest books of the Old Testament on man's destiny are in the 7 books which the Jews have dropped. A pity. 3, the most important defined doctrine on the last things was published by Pope Benedict XII. 4, the particular judgment of each person comes immediately after death. The Latin word is mox, which means soon, very soon. This, by the way, is well to note, because among Protestants, since, as you know, they do not on principle invoke the saints, one reason they hold that strange position is that according to them, that is, the great masters of Protestantism back in the 16th century, after death, each person lapses into centuries of unconsciousness. Isn't that a delightful prospect? No. The judgment comes immediately after death. And believe me, that judgment, when executed, is a judgment on a very conscious person. We are conscious. 5, at the general judgment, those to be judged will be all the members of the human race. I would like to know, though I won't ask publicly, why one thought that not everybody would be judged. Sometimes it's more interesting when people don't get the right answer than when they do. 6. Well, just for the record, I think this is the largest record of errors we've ever had. Practically everybody missed it. 28 errors. At the general judgment, God will reveal all the deeds of everyone. Lord, spare us. No, not all the deeds of everyone. Not all the evil deeds we have committed. All the good deeds and unrepented sins. Isn't that comforting? Oh, you can relax. 'Whatever evil deeds we have committed, the secret is to repent of them. And be sure to do so before you die. And all the good deeds. All the good deeds to manifest God's goodness, His mercy, and all the unrepented sins, God's justice. The 2 ultimate moral attributes of God, as we call them, His goodness and justice, will be revealed on Judgment Day. In the beatific vision, we shall see God intuitively. 24 missed it. I suppose you figured perfectly covers everything. But it does, except perfectly doesn't really tell you what's perfect about that vision. It is intuitive. Which means 2 things. Our knowledge of God, we do see God, in quotation marks, now, because we know Him. But our knowledge is, first of all, a reasoned knowledge. It is not intuitive. It is, rather, a reasoned knowledge. We've got to somehow reason for the knowledge of God, speaking of the mind. And even our knowledge of God, such as we have on faith, is not intuitive. What does intuitive mean? By the very fact of being in heaven, we shall always be constantly beholding God. There is no theological evidence for any sleep being necessary in heaven. That, by the way, is going to be one of my lesser joys in heaven. No more need of sleep. It'll be intuitive, meaning it will require no means to arrive at the knowledge. On earth, all our knowledge of God is either reason or faith knowledge. The means being either our reason, reflection, or faith. The intuitive, therefore, removes both needs. There will be no longer any means necessary to arrive at the knowledge. That's what intuitive first means. It secondly means that there will be no means necessary to actually know God. So two kinds of means are excluded by intuitive vision. The means of acquiring the knowledge, the means of having the knowledge, of possessing the knowledge. Because all the knowledge we have now of God, apart from the fact that we have to arrive at it by reason and faith, all this knowledge is somehow through creatures. Even the knowledge that I have of God in my own mind, it is my mind that is the vehicle or channel for that knowledge. Agreed? But in heaven, oh, we'll have our minds all right, but it will be, as the church tells us, a face-to-face knowledge. It will be an immediate knowledge. I will not know God through my thoughts. I will just plain know God. So two kinds of mediation are denied by intuitive knowledge. The mediation of acquisition and the mediation of knowledge. We shall immediately, directly, face to face, know God. The closest approximation we have on earth to such knowledge, we don't have it of God, is the knowledge we have of ourselves. We don't have to read a book about this, what shall we call ourselves? This delightful soul or this scoundrel called me. In any case, and when we know ourselves, we just know ourselves. The nearest thing to the immediacy of the knowledge or vision of God in heaven is the self-knowledge we have on earth. There's a passage, remember? I shall know as now I am known. I shall know God as I am now known by myself. This ego called me will not require any means to acquire the knowledge or any means to possess the knowledge. The nearest thing to the knowledge that we shall have of God is the knowledge that Christ had of his own divine nature. But we shall not be divine. It will be an immediate knowledge. In fact, we may say that the immediacy of this knowledge in heaven of God will be more infinite than our knowledge of self. And there is no one we know more intimately than self. We shall know God more intimately in heaven than on earth we know ourselves. And that is intimately indeed. Number 8. The object of the beatific vision is the divine essence. 9. In heaven the knowledge of God keeps increasing. 10 of you doubted that. Please don't. You might say remains the same. Well, it's the same God, of course. but even on earth. Can we say this? For example, you learned something yesterday. You learn a little more today. Isn't that increase? In other words, what we've known about God, let's say in the first week of heaven. I'm not sure what kind of heaven, pardon, what kind of calendar they have in heaven. But however they calculate, there is such a thing as a memory. We won't forget the things we learned about God. And there will be no difficulty in recall. In any case, the knowledge of God keeps increasing. We can never learn all there is. That's one reason why heaven has to be for eternity, because God is infinitely knowable. The happiness of heaven is, or differs, from person to person. Only three doubt of that. That's pretty close to unanimity. Is unpredictable. Well, you can say that, but that's not saying much. Is the same for everyone? Well, not quite. 11. Besides seeing God in heaven, we shall enjoy the humanity of Christ. Of course. The angels and saints, of course. But when we say creatures, don't we include the humanity of Christ and the angels and the saints? I thought that was a dead giveaway. But 12 doubted my sincerity. Number 12. The risen glorified body is substantially the same with or as our mortal bodies on earth. Almost half the class doubted that. We'll talk about this as we get into the class. Number 13. The social joys of heaven include human companionship. You might have asked for a raising of hands. It'll be revealing to me. How many thought the social joys of heaven include human companionship? Well, all right. You're right, but not right enough. The company of our relatives and friends from earth. How many got that? Well, altogether, I got 18, missed it. The friendship of the angels and saints. You know, the angels are not going to be in some kind of a special compartment. Revelation keeps telling us it's going to be one big, happy celestial family. Angels and saints. And the angels won't envy not having our bodies, and we won't envy that they're pure spirits. How we're going to communicate, that remains to be seen. So the friendship of the angels and saints. And by the way, the only relatives and friends from earth that will get to heaven will be saints. In case you haven't been told, it's a secret. Tell your friends to get to heaven, otherwise we will not have that companionship. Number 14. The communion of saints is a communication of merits among all the members of the church. Why is that the best answer? Because the communication of merits is not only the persons in the state of grace on earth among all Christians, but everybody, whether in heaven, in purgatory, or on earth. The church militant, triumphant, and suffering. Number 15. The eternity of hell is an article of revealed faith. Oh, please, four had some doubt. Erase the doubt. It is a revealed article of the faith. 16. Regarding hell, we are not sure. Three missed it. That anybody is lost? No, we can't say that. That anyone will be lost? Don't say that, otherwise there's no purpose to hell, right? The only thing we're not sure about is who is lost. And finally, the doctrine of purgatory. Is it possible 16 missed it. He is certainly true. Well, it sure is. Theologically certain, much more. It is divinely revealed, and whatever is divinely revealed, he is certainly true and theologically certain. 18. The second book of Maccabees that teaches the existence of purgatory is in the Catholic Bible. It's not in all Bibles, and therefore not in the Protestant one. 19. The souls in purgatory can satisfy for the punishment due to sin. They cannot merit grace for anyone, themselves or anyone else. Merit ceases at the point of death. Christ himself could no longer merit the moment he died. The essence of merit is that a person is still, as we say, in the state of wayfarer. One must be mortal in the state of mortality to merit. And number 20, regarding the souls in purgatory, they are in suffering and joy. Don't be afraid. Enjoy too. What do you suppose would be one great source of joy for the souls in purgatory? Please? Certitude of heaven, right? They are happy because they are sure of their salvation. Well, that's true. But if you say number 3, then what do you skip? Their suffering. After all. Actually, these questions are not trick questions. They were not meant to be. They were meant to be both instructive as to how much you know and informative to teach you what you don't know. With great sorrow, I announce that I cannot assign a quiz for the next time. I would like to briefly, we can talk about this before the day is over. I think I mentioned we will be having classes next year. The exact format will have to be worked out and developed. The plan is that you will be kept informed during the summer about just what the program will be. We would like to, if at all possible, establish a program that will be also for preparation to teach religion for those of you that are interested in catechizing. The provincial here, Sister Imelda, has requested that. I think we've talked about this already, haven't we? And if we can, to obtain a pontifical status for our teaching here, if we can manage to get it by next September. In any case, you will be kept informed. And the program, I did tell you as of now that we will be on the doctrinal level. The course will be, it may be changed, but at least as of now, to teach the theology of divine grace. We talked about that, didn't we? We now wish to, for the few minutes we have before our first break, to begin the subject of eschatology, then finish it up, hopefully. And if we don't finish up before lunch, to complete it after lunch, and then finish up a large block of matter we still have in the history of religious life.